plastic surgery in South Korea is now so good that people traveling home afterward need certificates to prove who they are. Some hospitals in South Korea are offering plastic surgery certificates to help overseas patients through passport control on their way home. South Korea is now the plastic surgery capital of the world, figures show. When people undergo the knife for plastic surgery, they hope to come out to the operation looking a bit different and a lot better. They usually do not, however, anticipate looking so different that they are unrecognizable. However, some of South Korea's plastic surgeons are so talented that they are leaving their patients with an unexpected problem. Plastic surgery in South Korea has become so successful that some overseas patients are struggling to get through passport control on the way home after the operations. Some hospitals in South Korea are now offering plastic surgery certificates to smooth patients' paths through passport control when they no longer look like their passport photos. When I saw the picture of this, I assumed that it was two different people and that they had used a different model and said, well, this is her and this is allegedly what she looks like afterwards. The only way that I could identify that this was the same person is the earlobe. There's a little groove on the earlobe. That's how good they are, that they make you look like a completely different person. I think this person could possibly be MTF because I see the large chin and the wide neck and the Adam's apple, but if that's what they can do. It used to be Thailand was the place to go for surgery. I expect some people are still going there because it's a lot cheaper than Korea. Do you see, he looked like a normal person, but then he got all this surgery. The K-pop industry has a lot of influence on this as well because basically they're getting feminization surgery. See, he looked normal, but now he sort of looks like a doll. The K-pop bands like BTS and some others, I think those are actually FTMs. So they're trying to say that they've gotten surgery, but I think really they're just female. And so this is basically what's happening. They're getting feminization surgery. So I'm certain Hollywood people and other industry people are going to Korea. And they show you how to do facial feminization surgery for the male to females, MTF. They contour the forehead, they get rid of the brow bone, they do a nose job or a rhinoplasty. Of course, they do the chin and jaw shave, they do a tracheal shave, but you still have this big skull. So this person's had the feminization surgery, but there isn't a surgery that can fix the size of the skull or the neck. So you just have to look at the people who are open about their transition. Because with all of the makeup, it looks good, but if you saw them in person, you would know what you're looking at. And sometimes they can really pass. They can sort of pass, but it's just the look that you're used to. So this person's had the feminization surgery, but the forehead is still tall, the eyes, the neck is still wide. If you remember the child from Pan's Labyrinth, look what the person looks like now. It's a similar look to the person on the left because it's feminization surgery. So why do all these famous people get surgery when they're so young? It's because it's feminization surgery. Why haven't people figured that out? They get feminization surgery when they're really young and there's no other reason for it except that these people are transgendered. What is the ideal breast augmentation? So the MTFs can get breasts by taking hormones, but they can also get breast implants. So you can either have the teardrop shape or the regular shape. Teardrop implant shape results in a more natural and sloped shape. Round implant shape, that's the one where they just stick out. So I think this actress here who was in Inherent Vice, I think she's got the teardrop shape because I looked at the body. She's had all of the surgery except you do see this prominent Adonis belt, which is mostly male. If they're really skinny, men can have a natural curve, but I think she accentuates it by using corset training. They can also do fat transfer if they don't want to do the surgery. They take the fat from all the areas in the body where women mostly gain weight. But if they're an MTF, they scoop out the fat from somewhere else, maybe the stomach or another place that has fatty tissue, and they can inject it in other places. See, they show women gain weight all here. Women gain weight all around the stomach. Or they can inject it into the face, like Selena Gomez. They say, well, she's got a fat face. It's probably fat transfer. They can put it anywhere else. A new plastic surgery technique for hip widening. While feminizing hormone therapy can produce extensive visible changes for trans women, one aspect of the body that remains largely unchanged is the skeletal structure. Trans women who were not treated with puberty blockers in adolescence generally lack options when it comes to fixed skeletal features such as broader shoulders, a wide ribcage, and narrow hips. HRT can promote fat redistribution to create a more feminine body shape overall, but when this is not sufficient to produce the desired body shape, some trans women have turned to more dangerous options such as the injection of loose silicone. This carries a number of serious risks, including migration of silicone, inflammation, the development of abscesses, infections, ulcerations, sepsis, organ failure, and silicone embolism leading to limb loss or death. A recently developed plastic surgery technique offers the possibility of cosmetic hip widening using a new approach. So I'm not surprised to see that this is in Korea. Although the procedure is still experimental and not yet available to the public, it's expected to debut this year. So they can do the hip widening surgery, but it's still not going to change the cute angle of the body. And you might have nasty scars left over. See, it doesn't exactly look like a woman. Women have a natural roundness and a natural curve to the hips, but something looks a bit off about it, like Kim Kardashian's hips, like it just doesn't look right. Everything you need to know about clavicle surgery. Clavicle, aka collarbone surgery, is growing in popularity among patients seeking to change the length and prominence of the bone, enhance their décolletes, and improve the overall proportion of the body. From breast and pectoral implants to liposuction and even trompe-l'oeil contouring, the chest is often an area of focus in aesthetic medicine. Clavicle surgery can be performed to either shorten or lengthen the bone. Often, patients going through gender confirmation surgery or looking for a more masculine appearance will have their collarbone lengthened, while those seeking a more feminine appearance will have the bone shortened to improve the shoulder-to-waist balance. While this technique is often used to treat patients who are undergoing additional feminization procedures, some opt to undergo the procedure purely because they're unhappy with their natural shoulder width. Many of these patients have very prominent visible collarbones, which can be made less visible if desired by adjusting the angle of the bone. The more rounded appearance tends to look a bit more feminine. Now, of course, there's the hormone therapy, the HRT, and the general cocktail of drugs to be taken, but they don't talk about the serious risks of it, which really annoys me. Are transgender men and women who take hormones at risk for heart disease? One study found that transgender women who take hormones were more than twice as likely to have a stroke and deep vein clots compared to cisgender men and women. In addition, both trans women and trans men had a higher risk of heart attack than cisgender women. Still, the findings aren't enough reason for doctors to stop prescribing hormones, primarily estrogen to transgender women and testosterone to transgender men. Green said he found some of the science behind the recent research problematic. Right, see, they're not going to tell you, they're only going to make it look good, and this person's name is Dr. Green. Amelia Clark had about 2 or 3 strokes when she was in her early 20s. That's not normal. It's not normal. It's because this is a male-to-female transgender who's taking hormones. Testosterone side effects. Studies have shown a risk between testosterone replacement therapy treatment and heart attack. New research shows that in many instances, low T drugs are being overprescribed and may increase the rate of testosterone-related stroke, heart attack, or death in some patients. In short, TRT drugs have been recalled. Side effects such as heart attack, stroke, or death have been identified. Attorneys have filed lawsuits on behalf of TRT patients. Federal lawsuits against the manufacturers of low-T drugs will be consolidated in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Illinois, where the first lawsuits were filed in 2014. This is men taking testosterone, but what do you think it's going to do to a woman who's taking this? It's not compatible with your physiology and your body in general. Taking testosterone results in strokes. There's a band called The Strokes. I did a video about them in 2019. Short arms on all of them, wide hips on all of them. These are all girls. So for the FTMs, they can get masculinization surgery. They lengthen the forehead. They might give cheek implants. They might do a rhinoplasty. They might do jaw implants. And they can do an Adam's apple surgery, which is an implant on the front of the trachea. But it doesn't look natural like Alex. It's just this thing sticking out, but it looks kind of strange. And taking testosterone will give them a natural Adam's apple as well.
Hey, so I am officially on testosterone today.
Hey.
So this is my 1 month on testosterone.
Hey, Jamie. This is my 2 months on T video.
Hey, it's Jamie. This is my 3 months on testosterone update.
Hey, it's Jamie. Today is my 4 months on testosterone.
Hey, it's Jamie. This is my
5 months on testosterone video.
This is my 8 months on T update.
Hey, this is my 10 months on T video.
My 14 months and a week on T now.
Hey, it's Jamie. I'm now 18 months on T. I am coming up 22 months on T now.
Hey, it's Jamie. I am now 2.5 years on T.
I'm around 3 years, 4 months on T now.
Hey, my name is Jamie. I am pre-everything.
Hey, it's Jamie and I'm now 3.5 years on T.
So Jamie's an open FTM, and I've said before, look at the ones who are open about it. V-shaped collarbone, small shoulders. Testosterone can give them a beard, but it's sort of soft facial hair and it's a bit sparse. And I've noticed some of them do Photoshop on their pictures for some reason. And this one did it to make the shoulders wider. The soft eyes, the pretty eyes, this looks like a lot of actors. V-shaped collarbones. And the hair doesn't mean anything because you can get that with testosterone or you can get implants. So if they don't want to do the top surgery, they can do breast binding. I don't know why they Photoshopped her back because we do know what we're looking at here. The small skull, the small neck, the sloping shoulders, the short arms, the wide hips. There's also brow implant surgery, and I've noticed a lot of the FTM actors are doing this. But you can see the difference because it just sort of sticks out from the top of their head, like Harry Kane. It doesn't look right. The eyes are not set back into the skull. And Jamie got the brow implant as well. You can see it's the eyes are not set deep into the skull and it's sort of sticking out. And they can get jaw surgery like Ashton Kutcher. It looks odd because Ashton has the small skull and then this, it sort of looks like chipmunk cheeks. But when you look at the open FTMs, you can see a lot of this look in Hollywood. This looks like a lot of actors. And this is something that they can use if they want to go into the men's toilets. So it's always the size of the skull, it's the chin, it's a little bit of facial hair, but how many men in Hollywood does that look like? So the MTFs can get voice training, but it doesn't exactly sound female because it's not the female voice inflection. Or they can get surgery on the vocal cords to sound more feminine. The cricothyroid approximation surgery raises the vocal pitch by stimulating cricothyroid muscle contraction through the approximation of the cricoid and thyroid.
Rainbow passage. When the sunlight strikes raindrops in the air, they act as a prism and form a rainbow. The rainbow is a division of white light into many beautiful colors. These take the shape of a long round arch with its path high above and its two ends apparently beyond the horizon.
Rainbow passage. When the sunlight strikes raindrops in the air, they act as a prism and form a rainbow. The rainbow is a division of white light into many beautiful colors. These take the shape of a long arch, with its path high above, and its two ends apparently beyond the horizon. There is, according to legend, a boiling pot of gold at one end. People look, but no one ever finds it. When a man looks for something beyond his reach, his friends say he's looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Long-term follow-up of transsexual persons undergoing sex reassignment surgery cohort study in Sweden. The treatment of transsexualism is sex reassignment, including hormonal treatment and surgery aimed at making the person's body as congruent with the opposite sex as possible. There's a dearth of long-term follow-up studies after sex reassignment. Objective: to estimate mortality, morbidity, and criminal rate after surgical sex reassignment of transsexual persons. Results: the overall mortality for sex reassigned persons was higher during follow-up than for the controls of the same birth sex, particularly death from suicide. Sex reassigned persons also had an increased risk for suicide attempts and psychiatric inpatient care. Comparisons with controls matched on reassigned sex yielded similar results. Female to males, but not male to females, had a higher risk for criminal convictions than the respective birth sex controls. Persons with transsexualism after sex reassignment have considerably higher risks for mortality, suicidal behavior, and psychiatric morbidity than the general population. Our findings suggest that sex reassignment, although alleviating gender dysphoria, may not suffice as treatment for transsexualism and should inspire improved psychiatric and somatic care after sex reassignment for this patient group. This is sad. This is horrible. They don't tell you this. The media makes it look good. And if you didn't know, people who are wanting to undergo sex reassignment surgery, they have to meet with a psychologist for about a year. So that psychologist is doing more harm than good by telling them that the thing to do is to become transgender. It's not. The media makes it look good. They don't tell you this. Sex reassignment doesn't work. Here is the evidence. Sex reassignment doesn't work. It's impossible to reassign someone's sex physically, and attempting to do so doesn't produce good outcomes psychosocially. The medicinal evidence suggests that sex reassignment does not adequately address the psychosocial difficulties faced by people who identify as transgender. Even when the procedures are successful technically and cosmetically, and even in cultures that are relatively trans-friendly, transitioners still face poor outcomes. Dr. Paul McHugh, the University Distinguished Service Professor of Psychiatry at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, explains transgendered men do not become women, nor do transgendered women become men. All, including Bruce Jenner, become feminized men or masculinized women, counterfeits or impersonators of the sex with which they identify, and that lies their problematic future. When the tumult and shouting dies, it proves not easy nor wise to live in a counterfeit sexual garb. The most thorough follow-up of sex reassigned people extending over 30 years and conducted in Sweden, where the culture is strongly supportive of the transgender, documents their lifelong mental unrest. 10 to 15 years after surgical reassignment, the suicide rate of those who had undergone sex reassignment surgery rose to 20 times that of the comparable peers. This is horrible. This is what they don't tell you about in the media. McHugh points out to the reality that because sex change is physically impossible, it frequently does not provide the long-term wholeness and happiness that people seek. These psychologists have a lot to answer for. They're encouraging people to die. They're encouraging people to commit suicide. This is tragic. This should not be happening. These controllers want people dead. There's a huge uncertainty over whether changing someone's sex is a good or bad thing. Even if doctors are careful to perform these procedures only on an appropriate patient, there's still a large number of people who have the surgery but remain traumatized, often to the point of committing suicide. Of particular concern are the people these studies lose track of. As The Guardian noted, the results of many gender reassignment studies are unsound because researchers lost track of more than half of the participants. What sort of doctor are you that you perform these surgeries and then you don't look to see how your patients are doing afterwards? Dr. Hyde said the high dropout rate could reflect the high levels of dissatisfaction and even suicide. The Obama administration came to similar conclusions. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services revisited the question of whether sex reassignment surgery would have to be covered by Medicare. Despite receiving a request that its coverage be mandated, it refused on the grounds that we lack evidence that it benefits the patients. In a discussion of the largest and most robust study, the study from Sweden that McHugh mentioned in the quote above, the Obama Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services pointed out that the 19 times greater likelihood for death by suicide and a host of other poor outcomes. The study identified increased mortality and psychiatric hospitalization compared to the matched controls. The mortality was primarily due to completed suicides. But death due to neoplasm and cardiovascular disease were increased by 2. We note mortality from this patient population did not become apparent until after 10 years. The risk of psychiatric hospitalization was 2.8 times greater than in the controls. The risk for attempted suicide was greater in male-to-female patients. This is what they don't tell you. They promote this lifestyle and it doesn't work psychologically. These doctors have a lot to answer for. They're contributing to their patients committing suicide. It doesn't work. They're not being helped with the issues. They need trauma therapy. They don't need to be transgendered. That's not going to solve the problem. These results are tragic, and they directly contradict the most popular media narratives, as well as many of the snapshot studies that do not track people over time. So when the media touts studies that only track outcomes for a few years and claim that reassignment is a stunning success, there are good grounds for skepticism, yes. And it's horrible. If my videos at least help somebody understand that this is a programming and they're trying to kill people, then I would be satisfied and not need anything else. They don't talk about this. They don't tell you that you can get strokes and heart attacks and die from taking the hormones. They don't document the amount of people who have died because of the surgeries. They keep it all under the carpet and they make it look good. Shame on you, Hollywood. Shame on you, controllers. Your karma is going to be so bad, and you will not find me sympathetic.